Hey, Swifties! Welcome to a brand new episode of Swiftie School, where together we walk Clownelia Street covering the latest news and Easter eggs from our fearless leader, Taylor Swift. I'm your host, Reagan Bailey, and it is enchanting to have you here. Now that we're out of the woods, let's get into today's episode.
It's another great day to be alive at the same time as Taylor Swift. Hi, everybody! I am having a great hair day. Thought I would share that with you because I'm staring at myself in the screen and there's a giant mirror behind me. And speaking of me, I'm so grateful that you guys chose to support me and stop by my meetup last weekend. I had the absolute time of my life meeting all of you, hugging you, taking photos, eating cookies, shopping the store. It was truly a blast and a half, and I'm so, so grateful to anybody who came and met me and hung out. Now, today's episode, if you're unfamiliar, is Can I Ask You a Question? And so every so often, I feel like since we've got new listeners, new people joining, maybe you follow me here, but not on social media or whatever it might be. I know we have a lot of young listeners who don't even have social media. So I like to do these sort of Q&A episodes where you guys sent in over on Instagram and my broadcast channel all sorts of questions relating to me, my life, my job, Taylor Swift, all the things. So consider this a little mashup episode, if you will. Reagan X Taylor, a little bit about me, a little bit about my life, a little bit about my Taylor preferences and all the things. And it's going to be a fun time. So without further ado, let's just jump right into the questions. I've got a whole list from you guys, and I'm going to just sort of alternate between categories. I broke them up into me questions and then Taylor questions, and we'll kind of just jump around. But forewarning, a lot of these questions for some reason today were pretty hard hitting, and I'm here for it. I'm all for transparency, vulnerability. If you don't know me, or maybe you're new to the podcast, I feel like the internet and just our phones in general have created a lot of separation between humans. It's fostered an excellent source of community for myself and a lot of people. But the reality is that humans as a society and as a human race, I guess, need to have human connection, obviously. Hello. And look at me trying to sound poetic. I'm trying to sound poetic and I'm not. Basically, what I'm trying to get at is that we need and crave human connection, myself included. And I feel like holding our phone in front of our face is not only damaging to our mental health, but just the way that we interact with each other in general. And it feels like, for me personally, one of my greatest goals in life is to be the role model that I feel like I did not have growing up. And I don't say that to mean it in a negative way, as if I didn't have like great parents or great childhood or anything. I simply feel like I just struggled growing up to see a realistic, normal looking woman that was strong, confident, powerful, did not depend on a man, did not feel the need to, you know, flaunt her body for attention or get plastic surgery to feel more beautiful or go makeup free. Like, there was just so little of that when I was younger. And thankfully, I feel like there's a lot of great role models out there now, but there's definitely a need for more. And my hope with sharing my life online is that I can leave not only the world a greater place than when I arrived, but also to be an inspiration to anybody out there who might find it through anything that I talk about or do, whether it's my career, whether it's starting a business, whether it's, you know, how I've handled my relationship or what I post online or how I dress or my birthmark, whatever it might be. I am just so incredibly grateful that you're on this journey with me and that you choose to tune in and listen to me. It's me. Hi, I'm the problem. It's me. Speaking of me, again, me. Hi. I feel like I never thought about Anti-Hero and Me being a mashup song. How would that go? It's me. Hi, me. How'd you do that? How would that mash up? Would that mash up? I'm like constantly, every time I hear Taylor songs now, thinking about what song would mash up with it really well. And you guys have way better suggestions and ideas than I do, but this was quite the caveat. While I'm talking about mashup songs, I think the one that blew my mind the most was Mirrorball and Epiphany, mostly because I just wouldn't have ever put those two together. And they were very unexpected. And I feel like, on a vulnerable note, Mirrorball very much represents me as a human. And I know a lot of you guys relate. I feel like the songs that people say describe them most. Mirrorball comes up a lot. You're On Your Own Kid comes up a lot. What are some other ones that come up? Maybe I'll have that as a Q&A down below. You guys can tell me what song kind of explains you or represents your life the most. But I definitely feel like Mirrorball, for me, being someone who's I'm a people pleaser, but I'm very confident. So I feel like, for me, I struggle because winning others over, which I call woo, W-O-O, winning others over is something that I think I'm very strong suited at. I mean, look at my career. It's tied very closely with influencing people. I feel like I find it really fun to figure out what people are missing in their life, and I can find the perfect niche to fill it. Not to say I'm an expert at that or anything, but I feel like that's a strong suit for me, is woo, winning others over. I'm very positive. I'm great with communication. And why am I talking about my strengths? I have no idea why I'm talking about my strengths. Whatever. I have no idea. Why was I going down that rabbit hole? Something about talking about Taylor Swift. Oh, Mirrorball. And so for me, Mirrorball, I feel like represents how I focus on other people a lot. And every time I'm in a room, I feel like I am doing a sweep of the room at all times. What do people need? Is someone uncomfortable? Does someone feel left out? How are they doing? You know, is the music too loud? Oh, I know someone is struggling with this. Like, am I being accommodating enough? And it's funny because I used to say that I wasn't an empathetic person. Like, I didn't feel like, some people are like, I'm an empath. And I'm like, I don't know. I have empathy, but I don't know if I like would describe myself that way. But I think once I've dove deeper in therapy about like my tendencies to people please, I do think that that's just a different way of expressing empathy. Wow. Not to just dive right into the deep end, but where I was getting with this was that you guys sent in some hard-hitting questions, and I love it. I'm here for it. I'm an open book, and I'm glad that you guys feel comfortable enough to ask questions and open up the dialogue. And on the topic of Taylor, I think something that Taylor does really well is she continuously opens up dialogue and encourages vulnerability through her lyrics. And that's something that, if you guys have been around for a little bit and were here when I attended the Eras Tour film premiere, so incredibly lucky and grateful to be invited to that, I wrote a letter to Taylor and I was able to give it to her mom. And I talked in that letter about how I think the thing I'm most grateful for is her putting her heart on her sleeve and leaving her heart on the table through her lyrics, because what it's been able to do is transcend through, you know, multi-generational, foster connections. It's been able to encourage other people to find ways to express themselves, whether it's music or not. I just think it's had such a gorgeous trickle effect. And I don't think we think of acts of vulnerability like that enough. I guess that we're going deep. We're going deep. So let's continue with the deep questions. I'm just going to rapid fire through these. That's how this episode's going to work. And if you enjoyed this episode, let me know. I'd be happy to do more of these. I think it's really important when we look at creators online or people doing any form of media that is marketed to you to remember there's a human behind that. And for me, as much as I absolutely love and adore Taylor Swift, the biggest piece for me that I love most about doing this podcast, doing my social media, doing my blog, doing my website, you know, emailing with you guys, DMing, is that I love the human connection aspect of it. So hopefully you walk away learning a little bit more about me and my goals and ambitions behind this podcast and everything else that I do today. So anyways, number one question is, how are you doing? I feel like most creators don't get asked this enough. That was so incredibly kind to ask. And I feel really at peace. You know, to be completely candid, I'm at that strange age where I'm 27. I'm turning 28 in 3 months. And Matt is 28 already, my boyfriend of like 11 years. Like, we met 11 years ago. Anyways, you know, we're at that kind of strange age where I'm approaching my 30s. And I'm just thinking a lot about life. You know, I think your 20s are strange in that way. I kind of look at your 20s as like three different categories. Like, the beginning of your 20s, you still feel like a teenager who's just like got this title of adult, but you don't really know what you're doing. Middle of your 20s, you start to have like a crisis, like, wow, I'm not a teenager anymore, but I'm also not 30. And things are getting real. And you start to think about like 401ks and, you know, fantasizing about things like, I don't know, vacationing with the love of your life and buying a house and like strange things like that. And then I think once you're approaching the end of your 20s, you start to think about what the rest of your life is going to look like, the foundation that you've started to build for yourself. And I think we live in a really cool time where we have everything accessible at our fingertips. And whether you're, you know, 11 years old listening to this or 51 years old, I think we could all benefit from taking advantage of the resources that we have around us. And I think that's a positive spin and way to look at the internet and social media, is that we have an incredible opportunity in front of us, or at least this is how I think of it. You know, all the negative aside, there's always a negative to everything. And for me, I love that I'm able to just simply, you know, go on a website like Pinterest or open my phone on Instagram and gain inspiration from the success of other women out there. And gain motivation. You know, I know a lot of you out there are not fortunate enough to have maybe a parent that's a great role model for you, or a grandparent, or a teacher, or whatever it might be. And I think looking to the internet, there's no shame in that. I think it's just a new way of taking advantage of the resources that life provides. And I'm so grateful that we're alive during a time period where we're able to do that. So to answer your question of how I'm doing, I think I'm in this weird reflective period right now. Like, I'm really thinking a lot about my life and what I want out of it. I'm feeling so incredibly grateful with where I'm at right now. You know, I lived alone for 7 years before Matt and I moved together to my current place right now in July of 2023. And I think that was incredibly important for my plot, if you will. I really was firm in wanting to live alone. I knew very early on, basically in my late teens, that I don't do well cohabitating, I guess. And I really struggle with female relationships. I've always gotten along better with men. I feel like I'm able to open up more to men. I just struggle in general with female relationships. I think you guys have heard me talk about that before. And so I think living alone was transformative for me, because being someone who's a people pleaser, and I would consider myself like extroverted, but introverted on the, like, I fill up my cup being around people, but in small doses. Like, I am perfectly fine seeing people for 2 hours, and then I'm good being alone in my apartment for 3 days. You know what I mean? I'm sure someone out there can relate. And so I'm extroverted, but I enjoy my alone time. I don't know what you would call that. So for me, living alone was transformative because it forced me to get comfortable with my own company. And I've talked about this on Instagram a little bit before, but I used to feel like I relied on people to have fun or to find joy in life. And what I mean by that is, if anything, you know, talking about social media, like if I saw a video that came up and it was like a cute picnic on a beach, I would never just go to the beach and enjoy a picnic or enjoy my lunch on the beach alone. I would feel like I needed to have a group of friends to do that with, or a boyfriend, or whatever it was. And I think I realized that more blatantly in my relationship, where I felt like, I noticed when I spent time with Matt, especially early on in our relationship, I was very dependent on really lining up every moment that we had together to make sure I filled up my cup as much as I could. And eventually, I think that sort of stared me down in the face, and I realized I needed to find joy within myself, because your relationships are never promised in life. You know, the people that you surround yourself with come and go, and you have to really be comfortable with you and your own company before you can rely on others for that. Not to say you can't rely on people to have fun and do things that you enjoy, but I think for me, it was really important to live alone and all of that. So this is a very long-winded way of saying I'm doing great. I feel really happy with where I'm at. I think for me, moving in with Matt was really kind of turning the page, opening a new chapter in terms of like intrinsically looking at myself and my relationship. And I feel like, if I'm being completely honest, being able to move in together was finally signifying that I was at peace with where, like, the relationship I had formed with myself. So I feel really good. I feel really happy at home. I feel really happy with my career. I feel the most creative I've felt in a long time. And I feel really excited about the community that I've built and the people that are in it. And that's kind of where I'm at. I liked the next question, which was, what am I most grateful for? I think, to be selfish, I'm most grateful for my fearlessness. And someone asked what era I'm currently in. I feel like I've been living in my fearless era a lot. And I feel like I have rid myself of being nervous or like having fear when it comes to doing new things. For example, today I went and I filmed my second segment with Access Hollywood, where I talked about all things Taylor. And I did not care how I looked on camera. I did not care if my skin looked greasy. Obviously, I got dressed and ready and, you know, did my makeup and hair and picked out a cute outfit, but I did not ridicule myself to no end. I sat there and I was just grateful that I have ambition, that I have drive, that I have, you know, just created this life for myself. And I feel really grateful that I was brought up by parents that instilled that confidence in me. So I think that's what I'm most grateful for in this current moment and point in time, if you will. I feel like a perfect segue. Someone had asked sort of like what the experience of being on TV is like, and I'd love to shed more light on that, because I think it's less scary than you think. I've had a few opportunities to do commercial work, if that's what you call it. When I was very little, I did commercials. I mean, very little. I think when I was like 4 or 5 years old, I did a couple commercials. I think that just came with like the nature of living in California growing up. I was approached at like shopping malls a lot, things like that. So I think I did, like, I have to ask my mom because I always forget and then I feel like I'm making it up. I think I did a Disney commercial where I like ice skated or something. Yeah, I don't know. I did a few things when I was younger, but I was really lucky to be chosen to do an It Cosmetics commercial, the makeup brand, about 3 or 4 years ago. Maybe it was 3 years ago. And that was an incredible experience, but completely different than other experiences I've had, like Access Hollywood. So it really depends on like the scale of production. And, you know, I shoot content pretty much the past like 3 or 4 months with the brand Ipsy and BoxyCharm. And that's really fun because it's like a small setting with 3 or 4 people. But at Access Hollywood, it's really interesting because it's kind of like a makeshift studio. Not makeshift. It's a very legit studio. And you can go to my Instagram. I'll post a behind the scenes. I need to edit that. Probably put that up this week. But, you know, it's a studio within an office where there's like cubicles everywhere. And then they transform what's probably an office into a studio. And it's very legit inside the studio. But there's basically a guy behind the camera, a guy monitoring the like overall production of it, someone sitting there asking me questions, and then one person doing audio. So there's about 5 people, I think, in the room, which is somewhat intimidating, but I feel like these people do this all the time and they do a really great job of making you comfortable. The start to finish process is interesting. You know, 9 times out of 10, you shoot 100 times more footage than is actually going to be used. And I'm pretty sure that's fair to say across the board when it comes to any sort of commercials or TV shows or whatever it might be. Maybe not TV shows, but we shot for, I would say, like 25 minutes straight, just the producer asking me questions. And the most difficult part, and I was explaining this to my mom today, is that when the producer is asking me questions, I'll give you an example. She will say something like, this is a more simple question, but there's definitely obviously more complex ones. When do you think Reputation Taylor's version is coming out, and why are fans so excited about it? And then what I have to do, because my brain is already formulating what my response to that would be, is I have to repeat the question back to her. So because what they do is they edit out the actual interview portion of it, and it's just continuous stream of me talking. So I'll have to say, I think Reputation Taylor's version is coming out on March 15th, and I think that fans are so excited about it because of XYZ. So it can become kind of difficult when you're trying to like formulate your thoughts and repeat the question back to you and then not lose your train of thought. That part can be difficult. And I think for me, that's probably the only part that I really struggle with, like, is kind of the repeating back, because my mind is already like jumping to other things. And specifically with Taylor stuff, I really want to own anything that I say publicly on like a public news outlet or forum or whatever it might be regarding Taylor, because I never want to spread misinformation or say anything incorrect. So I think that's the most difficult part for me, is I come prepared with ample notes and sit there and make sure I'm cross-referencing the whole time. And I'm very vocal about the fact that I'm like, hey, I don't know if that was the correct number. I do want to redo that line again and make sure that I cross-reference my spreadsheet and make sure that I said the right date or whatever it might be. So you do have to be, you know, your own best advocate in those sort of instances. And I've learned that, you know, over the years doing things in front of the camera, but it definitely doesn't make me nervous and I love doing it. So let me know if you guys have any more questions or want me to do a dedicated episode to what it's like behind the scenes doing these sort of things, because I'm happy to talk more about it. I thought this was an interesting question, and perhaps I haven't shed enough light on this. Someone had asked what my long-term plans are to make money once the Taylor Swift content dies down. And that's a great question. I actually don't make really any money from Taylor Swift content at all. I did a blog post on this if you're curious about creators and how I monetize this brand that I've built. But to give you context, when I post on Instagram, I don't make a dollar. I'm not making any sort of money from Instagram. What I do make money off of is things external. So think Amazon storefront. If I'm linking something, if I have an affiliate link with a brand, I would make money off of that. If I am doing a sponsored Instagram story or sponsored post, I am making money off of that. My website, if I were to add, you know, put advertisements on my blog, I'll make money from that. Patreon, if someone subscribes, I'll make money off of that. But there's such a misconception that just posting content or just having followers equates to money. And that really is only true on 2 platforms. And those 2 platforms would be YouTube. The AdSense program there can be pretty lucrative, but there are pretty strenuous criteria that you have to meet in order to qualify for that. And it can take years and years and videos upon videos upon videos to actually get to the point where you're able to have a livable wage. There's a girl on YouTube, Alexis Eldridge. She does an excellent job of breaking down how she's been able to monetize her platform on YouTube, but it has taken her years of working her regular job and doing YouTube to finally be able to quit and do it full time and make a somewhat livable wage off of just her YouTube AdSense. But she does still have to supplement it, as do I, with other things like sponsorships and whatnot. So I don't rely on Taylor Swift content at all to make me money. I mean, the only things related to Taylor Swift that I would make money off of is if I do a sponsorship that relates to Taylor. So early on in the Eras Tour, it was like last March, I did a sponsorship with Game Time, which is a ticketing website similar to like StubHub or TickPick. It was where I purchased my Eras Tour tickets from, and they had reached out. It was a great fit because I clearly was a customer of their website and was familiar with it, and I've used it several times for several years. And so I did a partnership with them, and they paid me to post a video that they then ran as an ad for the next, you know, 6 months or something. So you could say like that maybe Taylor Swift related opportunities would die down, but the majority of my money comes from, you know, I partner with a lot of beauty brands. I partner with fashion brands. I really am open to partnering with all sorts of brands and companies of all sizes, because for me, I would rather take less money and be very aligned with the companies that I partner with versus taking anything that comes my way just for a paycheck. So I try to keep ethical with it while obviously being human and recognizing the fact that this is my full-time job and I have to find ways to monetize it. But that's what I'll say about the money portion of it. I don't plan on dying down on Taylor content. This is something that's, you know, obviously second nature to me, and I very much enjoy it, and it feels like an escape for me from the outside world. And obviously being that I talked so long at the beginning of the podcast episode about how this has fostered an excellent source of connectivity for me and really has solidified like that feeling of like womanhood. I love that about Taylor Swift and her fan base. So I will not be stopping or slowing down anytime soon. Someone had asked if I listen to other artists, and I'm actually so multi-passionate about music and I have kind of like a strange array of artists and music that I'm interested in. I wouldn't say I have like a hyper fixation on any specific artists as much as I do Taylor Swift. I do really love Noah Kahan. I've been a fan of him since very early on in his career. I went to like one of his first shows in LA. There was like maybe 30 people there. The tickets were dirt cheap. I think it was like $12 or something. I really have loved Noah Kahan for a while. I love Maggie Rogers. I love John Mayer. Who else do I like? I like this band called Flip Turn. Matt's sister works with them. They're a really great band. I actually have some friends that are in a band in Texas. Really cool guys. And their band is called Flight by Nothing. Shout out to them. Check them out. I really like their song called Track 2. Highly recommend. It's a really good song. Track 2 by Flight by Nothing. But yeah, I am really into music and I listen to a ton of other artists as well. Obviously, Taylor's like 60% of it, but I do try to mix it up. And lately, Matt and I have been really into country music. I would say Matt's been into country music for a while, and my parents are really into country music. So I've never not liked country music, but lately I've been listening to a lot of it, which has been fun. I thought this was interesting. Someone had asked, what in my life made me the strong woman that I am today? First of all, I appreciate that compliment because I don't take that lightly. But I think a lot has led to me being the way that I am. I don't know why that's kind of making me emotional. I think for me, the biggest thing is my birthmark. And if you're wondering what I'm talking about, I have a birthmark on my face, and it is a vascular birthmark called a port wine stain. And essentially, it's named after port wine, which is red wine, because it looks like it has been splashed or spilled on the skin. And 1 in 300 babies are born with this vascular malformation, and it is not that uncommon, obviously. 1 in 300 people are born with it, but there's just very little information and research on it. And it's a progressive lesion, which means that it can change with time or with things like menopause, hormone changes, all sorts of stuff, pregnancy. And so it's something that I have felt like I've spent a lot of brain space on throughout my life, mostly because external reasons. People constantly remind me that I have a facial difference. I obviously have makeup on right now. If you watched the previous episodes, you clearly have seen it. But I think for me, I really developed tough skin at a super young age. You know, it started as young as me being in a crib or a stroller when my mom's pushing me around, and people would come up and make comments, you know, what's wrong with your daughter's face? What happened to her? Whatever it might be. And I had to listen to my mom defend me and make comments, and my parents, you know, sitting me down at a young age and walking me through, how do you handle when someone makes a comment and embarrasses you? You know, let's talk through some talking points that you can revert back to every time that you clamp up and get nervous or someone embarrasses you. So I feel like I really had to build up that side of me really early on. And I think I was born confident. I always am curious. I like to ask people, maybe you guys can tell me either in like a note on the form or in the question box below, do you think people are born with confidence or can learn confidence? I think this is such a fascinating question. I definitely do think I was born a confident person. I've always been extremely expressive through the way that I dress, through, you know, my personality is really vibrant and loud and bold. But I do sometimes wonder if we're being like intrinsic about it, if those sort of things are a defense mechanism as well, you know, to distract through things like my clothing, because I was trying to take away from the conversation about my face. You know, I do wonder sometimes if the reason people are outgoing is because they're trying to hide what's going on with them inside. I think I've definitely been guilty of that in my lifetime, of being so concerned about everyone else because it's an easy way to avoid what I'm feeling. So I think a large part of it has to do with my birthmark, but also just the way that I was raised and my parents really being drill sergeants in the sense of constantly building up my brother and I, shutting down any sort of negativity and being our best hype people, which was really great and obviously impactful from a very early age. Speaking of my face, someone had asked about skincare. A few of you guys asked about skincare and wanted to know about skincare for starters. I thought this would make a great blog post. I could definitely expand upon this in a blog, but skincare for starters, I think it would be a little boring if I were to go into like specifics of brands and everything. So I think if I were to say anything in terms of skincare for starters, and this could apply to any age, SPF is going to be the most impactful across the board, obviously protecting your skin from not only the sun, but the devices that we use that are emitting UVB, I believe. Is that what it is? UVB or UVA? I think UVA is from the sun, UVB is from devices. I would say sunscreen is going to be your best friend. And if you were to use one product aside from that, I would say a great moisturizer or exfoliator in the shower would be excellent, or whenever you wash your face. I thought this one was really funny. Someone had asked, does Taylor Swift or her team feed me information? Do you guys think I would be able to be this calm? Je suis calm. Do you think I would be able to be this calm if Taylor's team was contacting me? I truly do not know. That is the most tight-lipped, NDA-sealed employment operation of all time. I have no idea how many people work for Taylor or her team. Obviously, we know like the public-facing people, which is like Trepain, her publicist, and her family, but aside from that, and her security, but aside from that, I have zero clue who is behind any of the social media, who is behind her graphic design team, who is behind helping with numerology. I have absolutely no clue, and I've never directly been in contact with anybody from Taylor's team. The closest that I ever got was when I was invited to the Airstore film premiere. I did get two emails from Taylor Nation, which I will never, ever be able to share the info or email address. But yeah, I got two emails, but it was just simply like basically giving me the information and the tickets. It wasn't like anything sort of like personal greeting wise. And I did share this. I think it's in my Instagram highlights if you want to see it. It did have like my name customized on there, which is really, really cool. And I will cherish that forever. But they definitely do not feed me any sort of information there. Switching gears to one more question that I thought would be poignant and perhaps insightful for all ages tuning in today is, if I could give advice to my 16-year-old self, what would it be and why? I love this question because I saw a video that I had put up on my Instagram stories the other day that was really interesting. And it was a man who clearly he's done some work in therapy or just bettering himself because of the way he was really intentional of how he spoke about himself. But he was talking about how he was feeling a lot of things, but he couldn't quite pinpoint where these feelings were coming from. And so he said he was checking in with himself, and he was checking in with himself at all points of his life. So he said he tapped into 10-year-old me. Is 10-year-old me, is that where this issue is coming from? No, I don't think it is. You know, are the feelings I'm feeling, is this coming from 20-year-old me? No, it's not. Okay, you know, I'm 40. Am I looking at 35-year-old me? Is 35-year-old me the one who's struggling today? Are they the one that I need to check in with? And I love this question, or I love the way he framed that, because I think all versions of us, whether you reinvent yourself, you know, at 50 years old, or decide you're going to be a different person than your parents when you move out at 18, I think we could all benefit from looking inside and checking in with the younger versions of ourselves, because I think it's a part of the story that is us, the story of us. And look at me. I think this just comes natural at this point. I just talk in Taylor Swift lyrics. But I think when looking at my 16-year-old self, goodness, I feel like she was really looking, I think I struggled a lot with boys, and I struggled a lot with seeking like validation. Is it validation or like affirmation from men? And I wonder a lot why that was. Like, what was it that I was so hung up on, where I felt like a million people in the world could tell me a million great things, but I really wanted to hear it from a guy who liked me. And even if a guy was mean to me or rude to me or did something wrong or treated me poorly or whatever it might be, I felt like it was my job to like fix them. And this started at a very young age, and I wonder a lot why that was. So I think about my 16-year-old self and I think, what would I want? I want more for her, and I want more for her in the sense of what I was able to do now at 27 and, you know, throughout my 20s, of freeing myself of that dependency on others. And I think I would try my best to encourage her to, as deep as it is, I mean, this is very deep for a 16-year-old, but to find happiness from within myself and not boys or anyone else, and to believe people when they show you who they are, and to not waste time dwelling on trying to change them, because I think I would have saved a lot of my life and time in my life if I were to have accepted people when they showed me who they were. I think that would have been really transformative in my path to where I am now. But you can't change the past. You can only be grateful for it. And I think it was meant to be that I was that person then, because it made me who I am now, and I'm so grateful for that. So pivoting from there, we'll go into some more basic, quick, rapid-fire questions. Really getting some whiplash here for you guys, going from like deep in the trenches to this. But someone wanted to know my favorite dessert. Favorite dessert is anything that is hot and cold, which to me is like a brownie paired with ice cream, or like a mousse with, I don't know, a cookie. Like, I love a hot cold contrast. I love anything peanut buttery, chocolatey. I'm not a big like candy person. I don't like a lot of wrapped candies. Like, I love a good baked, like a warm, something that feels like a hug. That's what I like in dessert. And I love ice cream. Live, laugh, love ice cream. My favorite ice cream shops, if you're Los Angeles local, I also think these are nationwide, is Jenny's. J-E-N-I. I love, love, love Jenny's. I love pretty much everything that comes out of Jenny's. I have never had a bad flavor. I also love Van Leeuwen's as well. And Salt and Straw, of course. But Jenny's is my favorite. Someone wanted to know my favorite pore smoothing primer. Let me go in my handy dandy drawer right here, because I think I have it. Do I think this is the best primer on planet Earth? No. But it is pore smoothing, and I do like it. This is the Glow Recipe Strawberry BHA Pore Smooth Blur Drops. It's good. I love Glow Recipe. I love the founder. I love the brand. I love everything about it. Another option would be this Secure the Blur from One Size Beauty. It's a really good one as well. But I think my favorite primer, I don't know if I would say it's necessarily pore smoothing, perhaps it is this Youthphoria brand pre-game daily protective primer. Purple packaging, you can find that at Ulta, and the other two at Sephora. Someone wanted to know my favorite hairstyle. I'm really into doing my hair. I have sort of shorter hair right now. I like to pull back, like have a middle part and pull back the front two pieces and put like little clips or little bows, mostly because I can't stand my hair being on my face. But I like doing like anything quirky and cute, like space buns or little frilly things in my hair, bows. You guys know, anything girly, sign me up. The last question is, what is my go-to quick meal? And I'll give you my current go-to quick meal, and that would be quesadillas, specifically using the birria. I know I'm saying that terribly. Birria? Is that better? Birria beef from Trader Joe's. Matt always laughs whenever I say birria, because I know that that's terribly wrong and probably offensive, and I'm so very sorry. But it's incredibly delicious. It's like $7.99. It's a frozen pack of beef from Trader Joe's. I cook that down, let it simmer for a while, and then I do just like mozzarella cheese, and it's delicious. And I know someone's going to say it, so I will be sure to get ahead of it now. I do not like cheese, but I will eat it if it is like melted, like pizza or quesadilla. It's fine. Now, anywho, a couple quick updates here for you guys. March 25th, Monday, is my second ever clown call. And let me tell you, we had a hoot and a half on the last clown call. And if you're not familiar with the Patreon that I started, you can head to patreon.com/swiftyschool, where you can pledge either $2, $5, or $10 a month. And that helps support me and this podcast and all of the free content that I publish 85 times a day. And of course, there's benefits to that as well, like free monthly downloads, a free bonus episode, which is coming this week, actually tomorrow on March 15th. If you're listening to this the day it comes out, there will be a bonus episode. And I think I'm recording that tomorrow. And I think I'm going to be doing it on all of the signs pointing towards 3:15. because there's so many of us clowning for that. But each tier has benefits, and the senior tier, which is the $10 tier, can join a monthly clown call where we get on Google Meet and we have a Swiftie sip. It could be water, or it could be wine or whiskey or whatever you want it to be. It could be coffee, tea. And we get on and we hang out for an hour and we play games. We played trivia last time, which was really fun. This time I'm planning a fun game for us as well. And we hang out and it's awesome. And I love it. So that's happening March 25th. And I would love to have as many of you as possible if you go to patreon.com/SwiftieSchool. And even if you're not interested in any of the benefits and you just want to support me, you can sign up and literally never look at it again. Or sign up for whatever, however long you want, and just help support me, and I would greatly appreciate it. I'm also working on some new merch designs, and anybody who's in the Patreon can vote on some of those designs. I have a few more that I'm going to be uploading this week. Everyone's been voting on what color the next crew neck should be, and I'm super excited about that one. It's going to be like an In My Era's era crew neck, but 2.0 with all new icons and everything like that, since you guys really love that one. But anywho, I feel really grateful today. Just feel grateful. I feel good. And speaking of grateful, I'm very grateful for all the new members who joined Patreon who I owe a shout out. So let's get through that list now. We've got new members. Welcome to Mandy. We've got Oakley, Sabrina, Christopher, Barbara, Ashley, and Gracelyn. I am so incredibly grateful that you guys joined, and I'm so happy to have you guys. And I think that's all for today. We're not going to do Swiftie submissions since basically the whole podcast is questions. But by the time we meet next, we will know whatever the heck two means, hopefully. Or we will have maybe Reputation Stadium Tour on Netflix. So I don't know. I'm so excited. So grateful you guys are here. Please, 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 I would love if you could rate or review the podcast, or even better, share it with a friend. Make sure you subscribe wherever you listen. And as always, I will see you on the next one. Bye.
And I am so grateful that you chose to stay. Now just know, this is me trying, and I would greatly appreciate if you took a minute to leave a review or maybe share this episode with a fellow Swiftie. Make sure you join my broadcast channel on Instagram for more Swiftivities. And long story short, this love is real, and I'm beyond grateful for your support. See you next time!